In the high-stakes world of college hockey, few books have captured the raw intensity of competition and unexpected romance quite like Iced Out. This enemies-to-lovers sports romance has become a sleeper hit among romance readers, with TikTok book influencers praising its perfect balance of athletic rivalry and sizzling chemistry. The novel kicks off C. Ritchie's popular Leighton U series, which has garnered a devoted following for its authentic portrayal of college athletes navigating competition, identity, and love. What begins as a bitter feud between two talented hockey players evolves into something neither expected, proving that sometimes the thinnest line separates hatred from desire. Oakley Reed and Quentin DeHaas' animosity traces back to a fateful high school championship game that would define their relationship for years to come. As the final buzzer sounded on Oakley's game-winning goal, Quentin's bitter comment, "Must be nice having Daddy's name open all the doors," sparked a violent confrontation. Oakley, already struggling under the weight of being hockey legend Travis Reed's son, responded with a punch that left Quentin with a bloody nose and both players with season-ending suspensions. The incident made local sports headlines and cemented their status as bitter rivals. 4 years later, fate deals them an ironic hand when they become teammates at Leighton University. Their mutual hatred hasn't diminished. If anything, it's intensified with maturity and ambition. The locker room becomes a battleground of cold shoulders and cutting remarks, with other teammates forced to navigate the tension between their two star players. Quentin, now team captain in his senior year, carries the pressure of the Timberwolves' championship drought. His leadership style is aggressive and uncompromising, particularly toward Oakley, whom he views as entitled and undisciplined. Oakley, recovering from a devastating knee injury that cost him both the previous season and his shot at captaincy, channels his frustration into proving himself on the ice, often at the expense of team strategy. Their rivalry manifests in increasingly destructive ways during games. Quentin deliberately ignores Oakley's superior positioning, taking risky shots instead of making obvious passes. Oakley retaliates by abandoning defensive assignments, leaving Quentin vulnerable to opposing forwards. Their lack of chemistry infects the entire team's performance, resulting in their worst season start in a decade, 3 losses and 2 overtime defeats in their first 5 games. The situation explodes during a crucial match against their cross-state rivals, the State University Bears. When a Bears defenseman checks Quentin hard into the boards, he retaliates with a wild swing that triggers a bench-clearing brawl. Oakley, surprisingly, intervenes, not to help Quentin, but to prevent him from earning a game misconduct. Pinning his captain against the glass, Oakley unleashes years of frustration. "You're not a team player. You're just scared of being overshadowed." Their confrontation escalates as Quentin strikes back with practiced precision. "At least I earned my spot instead of riding Daddy's coattails." The exchange reveals the deep-seated insecurities driving both men. Oakley's desperate need to prove his worth beyond his family name, and Quentin's fear that his aggressive reputation overshadows his leadership abilities. This complex dynamic illustrates how personal demons can poison even the most promising athletic partnerships. Their rivalry transcends simple competition. It's rooted in questions of legacy, authenticity, and self-worth. For Oakley, every game is a chance to step out of his father's enormous shadow. For Quentin, each match is an opportunity to prove that passion and determination matter more than pedigree. Their inability to reconcile these personal battles with team success threatens not only their own careers, but the championship dreams of their entire squad. Everything changes when Quentin fails a mandatory drug test, testing positive for hydrocodone. Despite his vehement denials, he's never taken opioids, even refusing them after dental surgery, he faces temporary suspension. Coach delivers another devastating blow. Oakley Reed will take over as captain during Quentin's suspension. The humiliation cuts deep for Quentin. Not only is his NHL prospect status in jeopardy, but watching his rival receive the captaincy he worked so hard for feels like the ultimate betrayal. When Oakley enters the office and learns of the situation, his taunting laugh ignites Quentin's fury. Coach demands they fix their antagonistic relationship, but the damage is done. Meanwhile, Oakley discovers a disturbing truth. His roommate Braxton likely tampered with Quentin's drug test to get him suspended and secure the captaincy for Oakley. Though Braxton doesn't explicitly confess, his cryptic comments about having my back and keeping my hands clean make it clear what happened. While Oakley wanted Quentin out of the captaincy, he never wanted it through such underhanded means. This pivotal moment creates a moral dilemma for Oakley. Should he report his friend's actions and potentially lose his captaincy? Or should he remain silent and benefit from the injustice? His decision to stay quiet, justifying it because Quentin is his rival while Braxton is his friend, will have far-reaching consequences for their relationship later. The drug test scandal represents the first major shift in their dynamic. Quentin, once the confident captain, becomes an outcast, treated like a pariah by teammates and opponents alike. Oakley, seeing Quentin's vulnerability for the first time, begins to view him differently. This reversal of fortune sets the stage for their unexpected connection. After a frat party encounter, their relationship takes a shocking turn when Quentin drags Oakley into a bathroom for an intimate encounter. What begins as another heated argument transforms into an explosive sexual experience that leaves both men shaken. Afterward, Oakley insists this never fucking happened, but the damage is done. They've crossed a line that can't be uncrossed. Their mutual attraction becomes impossible to ignore, especially when the team finally wins a game after their hookup. Quentin, a superstitious athlete, becomes convinced their intimate encounter was the key to his stellar performance. Despite knowing it's completely irrational, he approaches Oakley with a proposition. They should continue what they started for the sake of the team's winning streak. Initially resistant, Oakley eventually agrees to Quentin's arrangement with strict ground rules. Complete secrecy, especially from teammates and coach, only hooking up before games to maintain the superstition, and limitations on physical intimacy. Their agreement is purely transactional, sex for winning games, with no emotional attachment allowed. What makes this arrangement particularly compelling is how it forces them to confront their preconceptions about each other. Quentin admits he's unsure if his attraction to men is just a phase or something more permanent, revealing vulnerability beneath his confident exterior. Oakley, who's more comfortable with his sexuality, finds himself unexpectedly drawn to Quentin despite their history. As they continue their secret arrangement, the team's performance dramatically improves. They win 6 consecutive games, turning their entire season around. The NCAA now calls them the Comeback Kids, instead of questioning them about performance-enhancing drugs. Their mutual success on the ice parallels their growing intimacy off it, both situations requiring trust, communication, and vulnerability they never expected to share. As their physical relationship deepens, so does their emotional connection. During their post-hookup conversations, they begin sharing personal truths that reveal the complex individuals behind their rivalry. Oakley confesses why being captain matters so much, not because of nepotism, but because he wants to earn his own legacy beyond his family name. This revelation helps Quentin understand why his high school taunt about Oakley's success being due to his name cut so deeply. In a surprising moment of vulnerability, Quentin apologizes for his past comments, creating an intimate connection that transcends their physical relationship. When Oakley discovers Quentin sleeps with his first ever goal puck under his pillow, a superstition he maintains throughout the season, he glimpses the passionate hockey player beneath the arrogant exterior. Quentin reveals his own struggles, admitting to feeling like the team's black sheep and experiencing imposter syndrome despite his talent. He shares how his father constantly tries to pull him away from hockey toward the family business, creating a pressure that Oakley hadn't recognized before. Oakley offers unexpected encouragement, confessing that while he comes from hockey royalty, Quinton's raw talent surpasses his trained skills. These vulnerable exchanges transform their relationship from purely physical to something more meaningful. They study together, spend time outside their arrangement, and begin to genuinely enjoy each other's company. The lines between enemies, teammates, hookup partners, and something more significant begin to blur. Their relationship reaches a turning point during winter break when Quinton invites Oakley to go ice skating at Millennium Park's ice skating ribbon. As they glide side by side in comfortable silence, both recognize how dramatically their relationship has changed. Caught up in the moment, Oakley impulsively kisses Quinton against the railing, not caring who sees them. When they part ways, Quinton pulls Oakley back for another kiss, soft, gentle, and entirely different from their usual encounters. The tenderness of this moment signals a significant shift in their relationship. Just as their relationship deepens into something meaningful, their past comes back to haunt them. While staying at Oakley's place, Quinton discovers a prescription bottle in his nightstand drawer, Vicodin, the same opioid that appeared in his drug test. The discovery triggers an explosive confrontation where the truth finally emerges. Braxton stole Oakley's leftover prescription pills and swapped the sample cup lids during testing to frame Quinton. More devastating than the scheme itself is Oakley's admission that he suspected something but said nothing because Braxton was his friend, while Quinton was just his rival. This betrayal cuts deeper than their original animosity ever did. Quinton gathers his things and storms out, leaving behind even his lucky puck, his most treasured possession, in his rush to escape. The fallout is catastrophic. Quinton withdraws emotionally, becoming a hollow version of himself. He loses weight, and the light in his eyes disappears. When Oakley desperately tries to apologize, Quinton delivers the crushing truth. You might not have held the gun, but you still helped pull the trigger. He wanted someone who understood his love for hockey, who would stand by him, challenge him, all things they had together. But most importantly, someone who wouldn't fucking betray me. In a moment of raw honesty, Oakley confesses he's fallen in love with Quinton, ironically after Quinton warned him not to develop feelings. Despite his pleas for forgiveness, Quinton remains silent, and Oakley walks away, leaving pieces of his heart behind. This betrayal represents the greatest obstacle in their relationship. It's not just about the drug test anymore. It's about trust, loyalty, and whether love can overcome such a fundamental breach of faith. The question becomes whether Quinton can forgive Oakley not just for what happened, but for choosing loyalty to a friend over honesty with someone he claimed to care about. Despite their personal turmoil, the team maintains an impressive winning streak, clinching crucial victories against longtime rivals before securing their coveted spot in the Frozen Four championship. The team's success becomes even more remarkable given the tension between its two star players. After their semifinal victory, a grueling 4-3 overtime win against defending champions Michigan State, Quinton encounters Lewis Spalding, one of hockey's most influential NHL agents, who expresses interest in representing him. The meeting reveals an unexpected truth. Oakley had orchestrated this connection months ago, deliberately stepping away from his family's long-standing relationship with Spalding Sports Management. The Callahan name had been synonymous with the agency for three generations, but Oakley willingly severed this prestigious connection to create an opportunity for Quinton, knowing his talent deserved the best representation possible. This selfless act illuminates the depth of Oakley's commitment. Even during their coldest moments, when they could barely share the ice without tension, Oakley was quietly working to advance Quinton's career. The gesture transcends mere professional courtesy. It represents a profound sacrifice of family tradition and personal advantage, demonstrating a love that prioritizes the other's success above all else. The championship game against Ransom University becomes an epic battle of skill and will. The teams trade goals throughout regulation time, Quinton scoring early in the first period, Ransom answering with two quick goals, and Oakley evening the score with a brilliant assist from Quinton. The tension builds through three periods, with both teams locked at 2-2. With just 12 seconds remaining, their teammate Marcus Chen receives a perfect pass from Oakley and scores the championship-winning goal. In the euphoric chaos that follows, as silver confetti rains down and teammates embrace, Quinton finally breaks through his emotional walls. Amidst the celebration, he skates directly to Oakley, pulls him close, and declares, "I love you too," before kissing him passionately on center ice. The moment, captured by dozens of cameras and witnessed by thousands, becomes instantly iconic in college sports history, a declaration of both athletic triumph and personal truth. Their reconciliation deepens when Quinton negotiates with Lewis Spalding, making it clear that his signing depends on the agency also representing Oakley. This strategic move not only repairs the professional bridge Oakley had burned for him, but also demonstrates Quinton's commitment to their shared future. During the private ceremony to place the championship trophy in the university's display case, Quinton reveals the full extent of his own sacrifices. His father has completely cut him off financially for choosing hockey over the family's investment firm. This disclosure, shared quietly between them, cements their bond through the recognition that they've both chosen love and authenticity over family expectations and financial security. 4 months after their championship victory, Quinton introduces Oakley to a pivotal moment in their relationship, teaching him to ride his cherished Indian Scout motorcycle. The sleek machine with its classic design and powerful engine represents more than just transportation. It symbolizes the hard-won freedom they've both fought to achieve throughout their tumultuous journey. As Oakley straddles the bike for the first time, feeling its mechanical heartbeat beneath him and Quinton's steady presence behind him, he experiences an exhilarating sense of liberation that finally helps him understand Quinton's deep-rooted passion for riding. Their intimate moment on the open road is interrupted by life-changing news. Oakley has been traded from the Philadelphia Blazers to the New York Knights, meaning they'll now wear the same jersey as professional teammates. Quinton, who had been keeping this secret for several days, reveals the news with a particularly meaningful gift: custom New York Knights socks emblazoned with Oakley's name and number. This thoughtful present perfectly acknowledges Oakley's long-standing superstitious ritual of wearing specific socks for good luck, while also celebrating their shared future. The scene serves as a beautiful culmination of their complex journey together. Their relationship's evolution traces a remarkable arc, from their initial bitter rivalry on opposing teams, through reluctant cooperation as captain and player, into a period of secret longing and forbidden attraction before blossoming into deep love. Even when tested by betrayal and threatened by external pressures, their bond emerged stronger. The motorcycle ride becomes a powerful metaphor for their parallel journeys toward personal freedom. Oakley breaking free from the suffocating weight of his family's hockey dynasty to forge his own path, while Quinton finally escapes the controlling influence of his father to embrace both his passion for motorcycles and his true self. When Quinton playfully suggests that Oakley should be the one to propose marriage, since he did all the chasing at first, it highlights the beautiful equilibrium they've achieved. Their relationship has transcended its initial power dynamics, no longer defined by their roles as captain versus player, betrayer versus betrayed, or pursuer versus pursued. Instead, they've evolved into true equals, partners who support each other both on the professional ice and in their personal lives. Their story demonstrates how love can transform rivals into allies, secrets into strengths, and individual struggles into shared victories. The final scene captures the essence of their hard-won happiness, two men who fought not just for their love, but for the freedom to be their authentic selves. Together on Quentin's motorcycle, they embody the perfect balance of stability and adventure, tradition and change, individual identity and shared destiny. At its core, Iced Out explores how vulnerability transforms relationships and shapes human connection. Both Oakley and Quentin begin their journey hiding behind carefully constructed facades, Oakley behind his prestigious family name and generations of hockey legacy, while Quentin shields himself with aggressive behavior and a reputation for being untouchable. Their initial antagonism serves as a sophisticated defense mechanism, protecting them from revealing their true selves and the pain of potential rejection. Their physical relationship forces the first cracks in these well-maintained defenses. In moments of intimacy, whether in stolen glances across the locker room or during late-night practices, they can't maintain their hostile personas. These unguarded moments allow glimpses of their authentic selves to emerge. Each shared secret becomes a bridge between them. Quentin's lucky puck that he's carried since childhood, Oakley's burning desire to create his own legacy separate from his family name, their mutual love for hockey's pure artistry rather than its glamour. These small revelations gradually chip away at the walls between them. The story demonstrates how vulnerability operates in layers. First comes physical vulnerability, then emotional openness, and finally the courage to be truly seen. Their shared passion for hockey provides a safe space where they can slowly lower their guards. Small moments of trust build upon each other, a shared strategy during practice, defending each other during games, quiet conversations in empty arenas, each instance creating a foundation for deeper connection. The most profound transformation occurs when they allow themselves to be completely vulnerable. For Quentin, this watershed moment happens when he forgives Oakley's betrayal and publicly declares his love, risking not only his reputation, but his professional future. For Oakley, it manifests when he admits his role in the drug test scandal and later sacrifices his family connections for Quentin's benefit, choosing authentic love over societal expectations and family loyalty. Their journey serves as a powerful reminder that true intimacy requires genuine risk. We must be willing to expose our deepest fears, desires, and insecurities to form meaningful connections. The novel shows how vulnerability, though frightening, acts as a catalyst for personal growth and authentic relationships. Only by removing our protective armor, the facades we present to the world, our defensive mechanisms, our carefully curated public images, can we experience the profound joy of being fully known and accepted by another person. Their story illustrates that the greatest strength often lies in the courage to be vulnerable. Perhaps the most satisfying aspect of Oakley and Quentin's story is how their competitive nature evolves from destructive to constructive. Initially, their rivalry threatens to derail not just their individual careers, but the entire team's success. They refuse to pass to each other during crucial game moments, deliberately undermine each other's leadership attempts, and prioritize their personal vendettas over collective goals, behavior that creates visible tension in the locker room and affects team morale. Their early interactions are marked by calculated sabotage. Quentin deliberately missing plays Oakley sets up, Oakley criticizing Quentin's decisions in team meetings, and both of them turning what should be collaborative training sessions into one-upmanship contests. This toxic competition reaches its peak during a pivotal match where their refusal to work together costs the team a crucial victory. As their relationship develops, however, they discover something profound. Their competitive drives, when aligned, create an unstoppable force. Rather than competing against each other, they begin competing alongside each other, against opposing teams, against societal expectations, against the numerous obstacles in their professional paths. Their fierce determination, once a source of bitter conflict, transforms into their greatest strength as a couple. During practice sessions, they push each other to new limits, turning their natural rivalry into a catalyst for improvement. This evolution reflects a fundamental truth about relationships. Our partners should challenge us to become better versions of ourselves. Healthy relationships don't diminish our competitive spirit. They redirect it towards shared goals and mutual growth. Oakley and Quinton exemplify this by establishing training routines that capitalize on their competitive nature, setting personal records together, creating friendly challenges that improve their skills, and celebrating each other's achievements while constantly raising the bar higher. Their journey reveals how competition, when properly channeled, can strengthen rather than destroy bonds. They begin to see their differences as complementary strengths. Oakley's strategic thinking enhances Quinton's instinctive playmaking, while Quinton's boldness encourages Oakley to take calculated risks. Their competitive drive extends beyond sports into supporting each other's personal growth, career decisions, and life goals. By the story's end, they've transformed from bitter rivals into passionate partners, proving that sometimes the person who challenges us most intensely is precisely the one who can love us most completely. Their journey from hatred to love isn't about suppressing their competitive nature. It's about finding someone whose ambition matches their own, creating a partnership where both individuals can thrive without dimming their inner fire. Their relationship becomes a testament to how the right partner doesn't ask us to be less competitive, but helps us compete for the right things in the right ways.